Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf. Welcome back to Talking Golf on this Easter Sunday. And you know, one of my favorite days in sports is the Wednesday of Masters Week. It's the last practice day for the players. You have the par three competition. Everyone comes out under the big oak tree to visit, have lunch. And one of my favorite people in the golf biz, Jerry Pate, was there at Augusta National this past week with his family. And Jerry joins us now. Jerry Pate, 1976 U.S. Open winner, winner of 15 titles, played in the Masters 7 times. Happy Easter, Jerry Pate. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Ann. Thank you very much. And happy Easter to you.
Hey, before we get into some of your Masters memories, we have breaking news early this morning as Tiger Woods has officially withdrawn from the Masters. Boy, yesterday it was cold. It was rainy. He looked like he was struggling. He made the cut, a record 23 straight cuts, but when he started round three on the 10th yesterday, he bogeyed 10, 14, doubled 15, doubled 16, and he was at plus 6 through 7 holes, plus 9 overall. So I just think the cold weather was just too much for his ailing body. What are your thoughts, Jerry Pate?
Well, when I watch him walk, he looks like he's in a lot of pain, and he actually still has a very an awkward gait to his walk. I don't even know how they put his foot and leg back together after that horrific car accident he had several years ago. So I know it's going to be very difficult for him to continue to be competitive.
Definitely. And he was saying in the press conference earlier in the week that, you know, he finds his joy in other areas now. He loves playing with his son. He loves passing his knowledge to other people and to his son. And so, you know, it's always great to see him, but it's hard to see him struggle like that physically.
Well, you know, comparatively in my career, I was 28 years old. I just almost won at Doral, won the Players, got beat a shot at Augusta, and was playing well in May, and I tore my shoulder, and that was basically the end of my career. I was 28 years old. I'd only played 7 years on tour, and I ended up having 6 shoulder surgeries, and it wasn't until my 4th surgery, when I was 50, I was able to come back and play the Champions Tour and win a couple of times, and I had 2 more surgeries while I was playing the Champions Tour. So I can tell you, when your body's not there, you can just go home and enjoy time with your children and your family, which is really more important. And I had almost 20 years of that in between the Masters and 82. And ironically, you know, people always thought I played the Masters for years. I only played 7 Masters. And although I finished a shot back to Stadler when he won in 82, that was the last time I played. It just, my shoulder was never right ever since that day.
But you've been coming every year for years, right, as an honoree, invitee. And so tell me, share some of your favorite memories of your times here.
Well, you know, you never forget your first round. Gary Player was the defending champ and historically the U.S. Amateur champion. I had won the U.S. Amateur in 74, and the U.S. Amateur champion gets paired with the defending Masters champ. And, of course, you saw that this year. When Sam Burns played with, I've drawn a blank, who won last year?
Sam Bennett.
Sam Bennett played in the top pairing. And, of course, I got paired with Gary Player. And, you know, it was pretty exciting to be paired with Gary Player. And so I'll never forget, you know, my first round at the Masters. And he was so kind. And to see Gary at 87 years old teeing off with Jack and Tom Watson, you know, there's a lot of great memories in going back all the way to 1975 for me to play with Mr. Player.
And isn't it fun to see how dedicated he is? He works the entire year for that tee shot. You're right. I mean, he had a good ball there on the, as an honorary tee shot, Gary Player's. So it's I just love that morning and seeing these guys walk out and going to that first tee to officially start the Masters. It's a very special morning that Thursday. But I wanted to ask you about Brooks Koepka, because obviously you've had all these injuries, and Brooks is just looking unbelievable. And we forget, he won those four major titles, and then he just has had to deal physically with these injuries the last couple of years, but he is operating on all cylinders now. My goodness. And he connected with that surgeon. I think you knew the surgeon that he was able to connect with, who did the surgery, his latest surgery. And
Yes,
Dr.
yeah, I did.
Neil Elatache, is that his name?
Yep. Ella Trosh. Neil
Elatache.
Ella Trosh. He was with the Job Curlin Clinic in L.A. In fact, Frank Job did my third surgery in 1987. Jim Andrews did my first two in 85, 86. I've known Jim since about 1978, believe it or not. We played the Pro-Am in Columbus, Georgia. He was with the Houston Clinic. Then he went on to his own career in Birmingham and at the Alabama Sports Medicine, and now Jim's in Pensacola. And I had a little bit to do with bringing him down here where I live at the Andrews Institute. But Neil was a disciple of Frank Job, and Frank was a great orthopedic surgeon that worked for the Dodgers and worked with a lot of the West Coast athletes. And Brooks ran into Neil. Neil's a good golfer. He plays at Bel Air Country Club. I haven't seen him in a few years, but he's quite the golfer, and he is really a great orthopedic surgeon. Obviously, Jim Andrews is the guy. I mean, Jim's done more famous athletes than anybody in the world, and he's right here in Pensacola. But Brooks got with Neil, and he helped him with his knee injury, and that's just very typical. If you hurt a knee, a shoulder, an elbow, it's extremely hard to play golf. It's not like team sports where you can go play a few plays and go sit out for a week and then get rehabbed every day and come back in for a week, even though the hits are hard in professional football or hockey. You tear a rotator cuff in baseball, throwing the ball is tough for a pitcher. But when you're hurting golf, there's no help, and you got to play every day for a week. The tournament lasts four straight days, and then people say, well, why didn't you play for 6 weeks like Tiger? I mean, it's just incredibly strenuous to go out there and stand up for 5-6 hours and hit balls and be on the golf course like a guy has to do to win the Masters. It's an all-day affair. It's not, people turn on the TV on Sunday and go, oh, I wish I could be a pro golfer. They turn on at 4 o'clock and they see him play the last nine holes, say, boy, what a life, get to play golf. But they don't realize the work a guy puts into it, whether it's Tiger, Brooks Koepka, Phil Mickelson. All these players work out and are in great shape. And the minute you have a little injury, it's dang near impossible to play.
Oh, absolutely. And it was also difficult to get a sense of how well Brooks has been playing this year, because of there were three LIV tourneys leading up to this one. He won the one in Orlando, but you can't, I don't get the sense that the competition and the level of play is quite there in these LIV tournaments. And so he comes here and voila, he's 100% healthy and he's playing lights out. Can he sustain that today and in two rounds and through this weather and four shot lead over John Rahm when they start at 8:30 this morning? But what are your thoughts overall, Jerry, about Brooks Koepka's play?
Well, obviously John Rahm can really play, and there's probably 10 people that can still win. You have 27 holes of golf left at the Masters, and you have a four-shot lead. Just in case, when Stadler and I played in the last group in 82, Craig, I think, had about a 7 or 8 shot lead going to the back nine, and I had a putt on the last hole to tie him. So, you start shooting 39, 40, which is, look what Tiger did on the back nine yesterday. You talked about it opening your show. You have a double bogey and another double bogey, and somebody goes birdie, birdie. I mean, Lord of mercy, you can pick up 6 shots in two holes because that's the way the course, it's a risk-reward golf course. And there's so much drama on the back nine at the Masters. There's no other golf course like it. It's one of those golf courses, if you play conservatively, you can get in trouble. You have to play aggressively, meaning you have to try to play the holes that you can birdie and play the holes you need to make par on. You have to play smart. But you start thinking about, well, don't do this and don't do that. When you're in the big lead, you're going to be in trouble. So it's a matter of focusing. You have to really get into yourself and focus to just play shot one shot at a time. You know, I listen to these telecasts, commentators talking early in the week about what the players do. You know, they're thinking about how they're going to play these holes and how the wind's blowing. They're not thinking about that. The only thing they're thinking about when they get out of bed is having breakfast, boom. Go to the golf course, stretch, boom. Hit a few putts, boom. Go to the range, warm up. They stay so focused in the moment. If you get ahead of yourself in golf, you're dead. You play one shot at a time, and you play that shot, and you leave the shot behind you. You don't dwell on the past. I don't care if you make birdie on the first hole. You don't go to the second hole and go, wow, birdie the first hole. Man, I'm going to shoot 64. You think about the tee shot on the second hole. If you ever get out of the moment in golf, you've had it. And I think that's the difference between the people that know how to win in golf and the people that look like they're pretty good players and they just never make it, because they get all hung up in things that they can't control, which is the future. You can't control anything but that moment, and you can't dwell on the past.
And Brooks does that very well, staying in the moment. And, you know, but I think it's a shame, Jerry, he joined LIV. And I do think he has his regrets, you know. I just think it's too bad that he can't compete against the best in the game week in and week out. What are your thoughts about that, that a LIV golfer now is leading this Masters?
You know, I've always admired Greg Norman's career. I've always been a friend of Greg's. I think the fact that he was able to get someone to put that kind of money into golf is fantastic. I wish it would have been done a little differently. I think maybe he could have united the European tour to a strong tour and sort of a Middle Eastern Asian tour, all as one tour, and the PGA Tour. But let's not forget, every one of these players got to the point where they could get paid these monies, because each time they teed off, and I can go back to 1975 when I was an amateur in college, I played on the PGA Tour, and you have to sign an entry blank, and that entry blank says specifically, it's a contract, you will not play in a competing event. And so when you become a member of the PGA Tour and you play for 15, 20, 30 years and you earn a tremendous amount of money through your success, and you agree to that, it's a bit disingenuous to say, okay, thank you so much, goodbye, I'm going to jump over here and play on this other tour. And that's great. I think it's wonderful people can make a living doing it another way. But it's disingenuous to say, well, I want to go over here and make this money that's guaranteed, but I want to double dip and play when I want to play on the PGA Tour. You can always play on the PGA Tour when you want to play, when you're a member. You always can. You don't have to play any events. The only thing it disallows you if you don't play 15 events is you're not in the retirement plan, and you're not, it'd be like working part-time in a business as a consultant. Then you can't be part of the 401k. And of course, in the tour, they have a deferred comp plan. And it started from nothing. And I'm telling you, when I started in 1976 as a rookie, and listening to Sam Snead, who came before me, who had won 80 times, Sam Snead was winning $1,000 a week with no guaranteed appearances, no retirement. When I started in 76, I played some tournaments while I was in college, and then when I got out of school in 75, we were playing for $15 million total purse. I mean, the purse this week is $15 million, and then the last three or four events on the tour, the purse has been $20 million. So it's the people that laid down the opportunity by them being the show, and they created worth through the brilliance of Dean Beamon, Tim Fincham, now Jay Monahan. And they have to hold the line and say, look, we built this tour by people being connected with the tour and following the guidelines, because if someone wants to jump in and out of the tour, the next tournament, the next week, doesn't get that player to play in that event. And so players have never been told you have to play in so many events, except if you want to have a right to vote on player directors. And don't forget, the players run the tour. even though the commissioner is an employee of the players, the player directors and the board run the tour, and it's been brilliantly set up by Dean Beamon. And before him was Joe Dye. I mean, Joe Dye was a USGA president and Augusta National member. He was the first commissioner, and I've known every one of these commissioners, and they've done a great job. But when you just want to jump out and say, somebody's going to offer me a lot of money, I think I'm not going to play in the Southern Open, the Texas Open, or the Pensacola Open back in my days, which were not, they were not as big as the Memorial or the Colonial or as big as Doral at Miami or Hilton Head or the Masters. You had to support the tour because it breaks down the ability of the organization to have events, to provide a place for people to earn a living. And what's so comical is for people to say, well, I can't play in a certain tournament. I'm not going to be afforded a living. I mean, these guys are all flying on private jets and, at worst case, making $3 or $4 million a year. I mean, they need to realize what normal people in America do. So I was always humble enough to appreciate what Dean Beamon brought to the table. And after Dean, what, in my time, Tim Finchem. Because and I'll say again, it's great that somebody can go get someone to bring a lot of money to the game, but it should be done together with the PGA Tour. Or if you don't want to do it together with the PGA Tour, go play your own tour, go play the LIV Tour, but don't expect to be able to jump back on the PGA Tour at any moment because it's its own organization, and it has provided opportunity for years.
Wow, we need a whole show just on that one topic, Jerry. We're out of time, but thank you so much. Have a very happy Easter. Enjoy the Masters, and I look forward to talking to you down the road. Thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Sports Interview with Anne Liguori is brought to you by Travelers. Travelers, it's better under the umbrella. And by Tourism Ireland, with world-class courses, historic links, stunning scenery, and unmatched hospitality. Experience golf like never before in Ireland. Start planning your dream golf trip today at ireland.com/golf.